talked about.
This familiar scene is any weekday morning, and what a sight it is. Bright, cheerful, well-rested office personnel arriving at work to pit their wits against the workaday world.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Well, I invested my savings in a little bottle of Epitac. It's the stuff that makes you barf.
Yeah, it makes you barf, dude, because nothing makes me barf. It's weird. I've got a stomach of steel.
Adam, scientists developed that. It would make you vomit.
Because scientists made this.
Dude. Yeah.
Who believes in scientists, dude? Let me give this little testaroo. That's weird. Definitely don't feel like barfing right now. No, wait. No, I'm barfing. I'm barfing right now. I'm not barfing.
Okay.
Wait, I'm barfing. I'm barfing. Those scientists better check their hypotenuses, dude. Oh, God.
And now,
I don't like you, but I respect the effort.
Our feature presentation.
Why is barf funny?
I don't know. Somebody, it shouldn't be.
Somebody answer that
when
question.
When you're doing it, it's not funny at
it's
all.
It's absolutely the worst.
It is. I hate it.
I am no fan of barfing.
No.
By the way.
But it's funny.
Well, he doesn't think it's funny either.
I don't think it's funny. Oh, not a fan of the vomiting.
So you played that just for us.
Yes. That's
yeah, because
nice
I
nice
I live in the world.
Yeah.
And
well,
if
barely.
I'm famous for nothing,
hold
it's
on, let me just back up. Barely.
If I'm famous for anything, it's that I know what makes people happy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm all about.
Finger on the pulse. Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Tuesday, the 22nd of July.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Bean. They're fabulous.
Hi. Oh, good. Anyone ever live in a place that had a condo association where you have rules you have to follow, things that you can and can't do? What was the most annoying of the association rules, Lisa, that you either disagreed with or interrupted you personally?
You know, in terms of animals, they have a weight limit. You can't have a dog that's bigger than like 60 pounds.
Oh, really?
Isn't that silly, by the way?
Yeah, I think that's silly.
I think that's silly because, for instance, there are huge dogs that weigh the same as much smaller dogs based on the breed of the dog.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, little dogs can be really barky and annoying. And
yeah.
So, yeah, it's very arbitrary. Also, you weren't allowed to have a barbecue grill on your balcony unless it was hooked into the gas line.
Okay.
That ran through the house, which is a big deal. So basically, you couldn't have a barbecue grill. Nothing in the garage.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, these
condos. That condo sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they have reasons for all of these things that they do, and I guess people know about it before they buy property.
Yep.
Those are the rules. But every once in a while, you'll see a story like a guy who, gets cited by his condo association because he's flying an American flag, and it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it's an American flag. It's the fact that you're not allowed to, you know, put a pole up on your balcony. You know what I mean? They apply it to everything without using common sense. Well, here's an interesting story that has made the news that is in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. This is a woman who has been told that she will be fined by the condo association if she does not remove a metal sign from her car. She has one of those, they have a rule that you're not allowed to have advertising on the sides of your cars if you're parking at the condo association. She has one of those metal signs that you see sometimes that advertise products on the side of her car.
Right.
Well, the reason she has it is because she is trying to spread the word that her daughter needs a kidney. So she made a sign up that says her daughter needs a kidney. We need a hero. Could it be you? Please visit us on Facebook. Her daughter's name is Honey. And she put that on the side of her car so that...
Is her daughter's name Honey Boo Boo?
Nope, just
okay.
Honey.
Okay, all right.
Honey Bestick is her name. So she does this because just like you sometimes will see a story in the news about somebody who's standing on the side of the road with a sign because their wife needs an organ or something like that. And she uses it to advertise driving all around in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and also parked at her condo association. So they're threatening to fine her as a result. And she said she is not going to take the sign down because it's more important to her to spread the word about her daughter. This is the best thing that's ever happened to her, though, because now this story is all over the news.
That's true.
And people are seeing it's being repeated everywhere. And she's had quite a few inquiries so far from people who, you know, are inquiring more or, you know, want to hear more about the situation or whatever. But I mean, good rule, bad rule.
Dumb rule. I mean, that is just such a nitpicking rule that this association went to that length. I mean, who cares if you've got a car that's got, you know, that wrap around it with advertising or whatever?
I guess they... I guess for
property.
What
they feel like it's an eyesore or something.
Yeah, I guess that's what they feel. Geez. I mean, I feel like they envision a world where you come out to the parking lot and, you know, somebody's advertising, you know, a cleaning service, and somebody else is advertising weight loss drugs, and somebody else is advertising a gym membership. You know
what
I mean?
It's not that common.
There's not that many ever.
No.
I don't think. I just think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not like everybody in the condo would all of a sudden start selling advertising space on their car. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And, you know, I always pay particular attention to these stories that involve organ transplants, mm-hmm. you know, because of a thing in my past. There are over 100,000 Americans on the kidney transplant list right now. And, you know, as we've talked about on this show, you know, 18 a day die waiting for a kidney. So I'm reading this story about this woman in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And in the comment section, the first comment is from a man who says, for the right price, I'd sell him one of mine. And it reminds me again, I still don't understand why you can't sell an organ if you want to. If it's voluntary, why won't they let you sell an organ?
That's a good question.
Well, I think it has to do with the fact that the people that are going to sell organs are people who are desperate for money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's
and you know what, you know what selling an organ would give them?
People. No, that's true.
Selling an organ would give them money.
Yeah.
Which it seems like it's a win-win.
You have another one, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work that way, Kevin. Oh, you can't give them both away.
I mean,
it seems like both parties win in that situation. And for those who argue, yeah, but then rich people will not die of kidney, you know, because their kidneys fail, I'm fine with that. I'm fine
and
with fewer people,
people
dying.
Will because they can't afford to buy them. You're fine with that?
Yes.
Well, that is.
See, I'm not quite fine with that.
Well, that is an issue.
I'm fine with that because I don't think that's true, Lisa, and here's why. Because I think when the people who are wealthy and can afford to buy kidneys are able to do that, they're not on the list anymore, clogging it up for people who can't afford to buy a kidney. So those people move higher up on the list to get ones that would be naturally available.
But there's also fewer people to donate kidneys, right?
I think there'd be so many more people to donate kidneys if you could get paid for it.
Huh.
I mean, look, I don't know. I'd love to find out if the rules are different in other countries and they have had success with that. I assume there's some reason why they don't do that, but it just seems like there's a tremendous need for organs.
Yeah, there's 100,000 people on that list.
Yeah, well, yeah, tremendous need. And millions of potential donors who aren't donating. So let's fix that. That's all I'm suggesting.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of issues.
Bean is always about fixing the situation.
That's true.
And that's what we love about him.
Well, and you did it, so I can see your point of view. But as you know, there are a lot of risks involved as well.
And certainly this show is the show to tackle such an important topic and make policy for the United States government. That's for sure.
Policy has maybe already been changed because of this conversation.
Anyway, so that's the story. So we'll keep our eyes peeled and see if it'd be awesome if as a result of being on the news, this woman ended up getting a kidney. So we'll keep you posted.
Speaking of homeowners rules, one super quick story. You might get fined $500 for watering your lawn because mm-hmm. of the drought.
Yes.
Right.
There's a homeowner someplace in Southern California that also might get fined $500 for not keeping up their property.
Because their lawn went brown.
Yes.
I heard that. And
yes.
The governor.
Isn't that awesome?
Just passed a law to prevent that from.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right.
I just heard it this morning.
Good times. Yeah, I was thinking this guy can't win.
I know. Just pull it out.
What do you want me to do?
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't know what you're talking about, but my gut says no.
Well, if I were to tell you thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Oh,
then I would
yes.
definitely say
hell
no.
Yes.
This is where we pull tweets from Bean, and then we ask him to we don't ask him anything, really. We just mock him.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah, you're not interested in any kind of defense or explanation.
No, because they're indefensible. Beer mug interviews, very exciting.
Can't wait. I hear good things. I hear they're extremely mugsy.
From the Television Critics Association, he went down there. We have actually two parts of that today.
Oh,
and he's very mugsy. Very mugsy. Comedian Bobby Lee is on the program today.
Yeah.
Very excited about that.
Turn your radio down.
Yep. And we have Jessica Chobot giving us a Comic-Con preview.
Oh, cool.
In the 7 o'clock hour for those of you heading down to San Diego, which we will be doing and broadcasting live Thursday and Friday from San Diego. We'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz. Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Ralph Garman is here.
Yeah.
I don't have my camera on. I assume Ralph Garman is here.
Yes, he is.
right. Hey, over here.
He didn't say audibly. He said, yeah.
Right. When you said he's here, I said, yeah. And so I'd be like, woo, yeah.
I am delighted to hear that because it is time for our first look at the showbiz being here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Well, Forbes magazine, which, as you know, only just makes lists about people now, have released their Hollywood's highest paid actors list. These are male performers who made the most money as measured from June 2013 to this past June and how much they made. So let's take a look, shall we? Is a tie at number 10 and number 9. Will Smith and Mark Wahlberg.
Still?
That's what I was thinking. Will Smith.
Yeah.
What was the last time he was in a hit film?
Forever ago. I was trying to think of the last time he was in any film. After Earth?
And this list is from, you said, from the last year, right?
Yes.
Wow. So we're missing something.
$32 million they tied with that
Maybe
number.
He was executive producer on something? Or this is just for acting? I don't know.
I don't know, boy. Tie at 7 and 8 between Ben Affleck and Christian Bale. Ooh, Battle of the Batman. $35 million each over the past year. Liam Neeson made $36 million. He's at number 6. Chris Hemsworth, I'm assuming, from his Avenger and Thor money, made $37 million. Leonardo DiCaprio, fourth on the list, at $39 million. Then it gets hinky. Then it gets what?
Really?
Number 3 on the list. You want to take a stab at number 3?
The Situation.
Yes, Kevin. You are uncanny. It's like you have... No.
Stab at number... woman or male?
These are all men, all as men. I mentioned at the beginning of the list. All
I'm
male
I'm just catching
actors.
Up right now.
Okay, good.
I'll take a stab.
Okay.
Will Ferrell.
No.
Adam Sandler.
Not in the top 10. No, thank God, Lisa, not in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have shocked me.
This will be kind of an oh yeah, I guess, when I tell you, but it would not spring to mind. Certainly wouldn't for me when I'm thinking top 3 paid actors in Hollywood
for
the past year. No, Brad Pitt not on the list.
Liam Neeson.
I said already Liam Neeson at number 6, Dave, but thanks for playing.
I'm just catching up, sorry.
All right.
Johnny Depp.
Depp not on the list either, Beer Mugs. But that's the most reasonable guess made so far this morning.
And that's scary.
And that is scary.
It comes
and
from
Mugs
Beer Mugs.
is the reasonable one. Bradley Cooper, third on the list.
Oh, sure. Yes, sure, because he's been in so much.
Yeah, he's done so much work. But what doesn't jump to your mind is like, oh, that guy's a massively highly paid movie star.
Yeah,
well, he seems like a worker, but... he made $46 million over the past year.
Just last year.
Just the past year. From June.
So American Hustle would have been some
once
of
again,
that, probably.
These are men from June 2013 to June 2014 is the list. How much money they made.
Wow.
Oprah.
Once again, these are men.
Men.
Male
sorry,
actors
my bad.
Over the past year. What
my
they
bad.
Made.
Number 2. Liam Neeson.
He was number 6th. We talked about him earlier on the list. Number 2 was Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's a new sound for Bean.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That is a little bit of a surprise.
Wow.
$52 million was made by Mr. Johnson.
I guess that'd be all right.
You think?
Yeah.
Number 1 is certainly no surprise. Any guesses at the biggest, highest paid...
Robert Downey Jr.
Indeed.
I just know his deal on all of his movies these days are crazy.
He gets all the money.
Yeah.
$75 million he made over the past 12 months.
And worth it, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Whatever the guy's
in. Not overpaid.
Whatever the guy's in makes a gazillion dollars. Yeah. And so he gets his taste.
Is he going to make another one of those Sherlock Holmes movies, Ron?
I haven't heard any news to that effect.
I haven't either, because that's a fun franchise.
I've enjoyed both of those films
me too.
A lot. He's got another film coming out soon. It's a little, it's not the usual Robert Downey Jr. fare with all the special effects and everything, called The Judge.
That looks great.
He co-stars with Robert Duvall, which looks terrific.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he didn't get paid Avengers money for that film. But that's the nice thing about being Iron Man is you can do whatever you want. You can do a one for them and one for you kind of deal. You know, you can find a little script that you want to work on. You don't have to worry about paying the mortgage.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Avicii is expanding his music a little bit. This sounds like a fascinating project, and I would really like to hear this. He is lining up guest stars for his next album, telling Rolling Stone that the following have all agreed to do vocals.
He's on the following?
The following people have all agreed to do vocals on various tracks on his new album. Listen, this
Liam
lineup,
Neeson?
Liam Neeson not doing any vocals. John Bon Jovi will be singing on one of the tracks. Serge Tankian of System. Chris Martin of Coldplay. And Billy Joe Armstrong.
will all be adding vocals to the project.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. He said this project this time around is more about songs, less about, you know, the EDM. And it's something he said he started on his 2013 album True, and he really enjoyed it, so he's going to go more in that direction. He's going to do more complete songs and concentrate less on the beats. Sounds fascinating to me.
I like it.
Does sound good.
And can you imagine Justin Bieber moves into your neighborhood?
No.
Imagine what that would be like on every possible level. Not only just him as a neighbor and a person, but then the hullabaloo that just surrounds him and travels with him wherever he goes.
His friends. All.
He just moved into a Beverly Hills condo. And according to TMZ.com, cops were called to his condo over the past weekend. Just this past weekend, for noise complaints, blasting music from the roof of the condo, neighbors called cops 6 times.
Wow.
In one given weekend. Patrol cars showed up each time there was a complaint, and Justin agreed to turn down the music each time, and then they would they left, and then they would get turned back on again. Sadly, he was not given any sort of ticket.
How did they not get frustrated with him the 6th time they're out there?
I mean,
you start charging for your time, don't you?
I would think so.
I don't know, man.
Ralph, where are the answers?
I'm not with the Beverly Hills PD anymore.
Okay.
When did that break up?
I came out from Detroit, remember? I was in Detroit, then I worked with I was a Beverly Hills cop for a while. I worked with those two guys. I put that banana in the guy's tailpipe. Yep. Remember that?
Sure. Right. Sure.
And then after that, I
may have been 48 hours.
Sort of retired.
That may have been. Wait, what was it? Oh, the whole bit was he was a Beverly Hills cop, right, Kevin?
Yeah, that came to me right after I said it.
Ralph fell to the floor.
Oh! Hey, Ralph.
Oh! Come back to us.
Oh, my goodness.
It was Trading Places, right?
Oh, my Lord.
You didn't use the words Beverly Hills and cop.
You are rich.
You should say those words.
You are spectacular. Truly. God bless you, Kevin. You just made my
Thanks,
day.
Ralph.
I'm going to be able to get through the distance.
Glad to help.
Thanks to you. I got nothing else. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these people were born today on July the 22nd.
You know, Beer Mug is laughing at you right now, Kevin. You understand what's happening.
Well,
here,
that's
right?
Deserved. Unfortunately, that's deserved.
Game show host Alex Trebek is 74 years old today. Singer George Clinton. Not the president. But the singer, of course, with, Parliament Funkadelic? Is that his band?
That's correct.
73 years old. Danny Glover, 68. Eagles frontman Don Henley, 67 years old today. Willem Dafoe is 59. John Leguizamo is 50. David Spade, also 50 years old today. And Reese Fons, he was the Lizard, of course, in that Spider-Man movie and also Notting Hill, 47 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
By the way, the new K-Rock sticker for summer is available at all Southern California Hot Topics locations. You can put it on the back of your automobile and enter to win a 2014 Dodge Challenger, plus a trip to see the Black Keys anywhere in North America, a $500 Hot Topic gift card. You can go to K-Rock.com for all the details. The stickers are available at all stores all over the place, and tomorrow, Beer Mug is going to be in Riverside. We'll tell you more about that as we get closer, giving away more free stuff.
As you just heard, Moments With are for me, Kevin. If I wasn't here, we wouldn't have Moments With.
That's true.
I own that. Bean owns things for that tweet, Bean, though.
Boy, mm-hmm. Does he.
He really has a grip on this feature.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Yeah.
These are real tweets.
It's a death grip, by the way.
Death grip, yeah. These are real tweets that have happened from Bean's account. We make poor Chip go through them. And then
Chip enjoys it, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoys following me on Twitter,
sure.
As many people do.
Right.
And what? You should, at Clyde Tumbaugh, if you want to enjoy the daily dose of hilarity.
Well, dose of Twitter syphilis that Bean sends out to people.
Let's see if it's the daily dose of hilarity.
All right.
Okay. I'm standing behind that, sure.
Just found a Denny's Diner, a 7-Eleven, and a radio station all on the same street. Looks like I am moving to city of Kamloops, British Columbia.
It's a pretty sweet corner right there. Had everything I need.
Yeah.
Hello? Is this thing on?
Yeah, sadly it is on.
Here's the thing, who's that for?
That's for Bean.
No, I'm saying most people would tweet something that they would think someone else would be interested.
No.
Do you think anybody's interested in the Bean fact that there's a great corner in Kamloops?
Bean is blissfully unencumbered by caring about what other people think as they read his tweets.
That's that tweet.
But I think other people appreciate the sensation of realizing you're finally home, you know? And that's what was going on with me, is I found my spot in the world.
That's
and I was just
tweet.
sharing the joy.
Why didn't you stay there?
Can you move there?
At the IHOP in Kelowna, British Columbia.
Come on.
I was on a road trip.
What's going on here?
I was going to places in Canada.
Sorry, start again, Ralph. I apologize. I'm sorry about it.
At the IHOP in Kelowna, British Columbia, they are out of whole wheat pancakes. Another reason why Canada will just always be America's hat. USA! USA!
Right?
I like America's hat. That's funny.
Thanks for the
tweet. They never ran out of whole wheat pancakes in our country. That's what I'm saying.
Overheard at 7-Eleven. Why do I always pick the wrong baby daddies? USA! USA!
What is happening with you?
Might be leaning a little too heavily on the USA, Chip, too.
But Chip is cherry-picking over several weeks' worth of tweets. It's not like it's all in one day.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
I would do anything for love, but I won't do fat.
Oh,
that's just me.
You.
Come on.
F you so much.
You guys get it.
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, we do.
That's a Meatloaf song from when? 1993?
About that. Yeah, I think so.
But I won't do love, right? That's the lyric?
No, I won't do that.
I won't do that.
It rhymes with that.
And it's 48 hours.
Thanks for that tweet.
Wow! The Ramones are back together.
Oh wow.
What? Too soon?
Because they're all dead.
That's just...
No, that was not too soon. That was probably the day he died, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it was that morning, right?
Yeah, no, that's not too soon.
No, not at all.
Mm-mm.
Damn it! When I wished death on everyone associated with The Notebook, I specifically said, except James Garner.
Right?
More
Hello?
More funny death.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
I just assembled a stand-up fan from Bed Bath & Beyond. So, yeah, I know how Neil Armstrong felt.
Because it's a tremendous accomplishment, because it
we understand.
Took lots of time and effort and hours.
We understand.
It was hard work.
Right. It's hard work.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
Wait! Now Israel and Palestine don't get along?
Oh.
See, a little political.
Getting the political jab in.
Because they've been battling for a long time, you see.
Right.
What? Was this in the news?
Bean is making a comment on the fact that they are, once again, at odds.
It does seem like those kids just can't make it work.
And now for this last one, this was tweeted on the 16th of this month, okay? July the 16th. 2014.
All right.
Where's the plane?
Wait. Are you talking about the original Malaysian airline?
Yes.
Where the plane disappeared?
4 months ago, yes. Where's the plane?
No one's looking anymore.
I need to know.
Right, but you're not going to.
Every once in a while, we need to be reminded that an airplane vanished out of the sky.
I don't think
into
so.
Thin air.
I don't think we do.
I'm with Kevin.
I think
with
we'll be fine
without souls
it.
On We're board. Good. How do you just get over that?
Well, what are you going to do? What's the point?
I'm asking the question. Where's the plane? I want somebody to look at that and go, you know what? We actually didn't find that. Let's try again. I'd like to see some results on that search.
They're not searching anymore.
Well, they should
what
be.
What a bizarre thing it would be if they found it now.
With all the not searching they're doing.
Thanks for that
tweet. Beer Mug was on a red carpet with a microphone and lots of stars. You'll hear the first part of that tape coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on KROQ. I feel like it's been a long time since we've had any Muggs interviews.
It has.
You?
Yeah.
And very excited about
this. Last time wasn't great, but this time it's a two-parter. We have one coming up next and then one coming up a little bit later on this morning.
Can't wait. First, though, let's talk about American hero Buzz Aldrin, a man I admire very much. West Point graduate, fighter pilot in the Korean War, went on to be part of NASA and the team that arrived at and landed on the moon. Second man to walk on the moon.
Remember how excited you were and how dull he was when he came in?
You know, he is of advanced age right now, and his storytelling has he's lost a beat in that. But I love Buzz, and I admire him so much for what he's done. In recent years, he's been famous for things other than walking on the moon. He did punch a guy in the face who approached him on the street and accused him of being part of a conspiracy to fake the moon landing. You remember that?
Yeah, they did it on a...
Decked a guy.
Yeah, actually punched him in the face. That was awesome.
And he was also on Dancing with the Stars a few years ago, and that's when we really started to take notice of him on this show, because he has turned into perhaps a dirty old man. Here's a little piece of tape of Buzz with his partner at the time, the professional dancer that he was teamed up with for Dancing with the Stars, named Ashley.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz. When I first met Ashley, I thought, this is a really cute babe. This is going to be a real treat.
And Buzz, just for the duration of the time that he was on the show, seemed a little handsy and a little bit creepy. Well, he was back on our TV over the weekend, and Ralph brought us this story yesterday on the E! Network, I think. They did a show called Aliens on the Moon.
I think it was sci-fi, but doesn't matter.
Sci-fi channel, okay. And they got into all sorts of conspiracies about how that's why we don't go back to the moon anymore, is because we know the aliens are there, and they've warned us off, and it's a big conspiracy. And even Buzz Aldrin brought up something that happened to him while he was, up there for the Apollo 11 mission.
60 seconds.
I saw this illumination that was moving with respect to the stars. We were smart enough to not say, Houston, there's a light out there that's following us. So technically, it becomes an unidentified flying object.
Well, we heard that, and we thought, we need to know more about what Mr. Aldrin saw, so we asked Dave, hey, could you line him up? And I believe we have Buzz Aldrin on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Aldrin. Welcome back to the program, sir.
I'm Buzz.
You are, in fact, Buzz. Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Congratulations on the 45th anniversary just passed this weekend of you and Mr. Armstrong walking on the moon.
Yeah, I made it.
You did.
Neil's dead.
Right?
Okay.
That's true. There's nothing funny about that.
We have a question about that piece of tape that we just played about you seeing the aliens. You said we were smart enough not to tell Houston about that.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like as an astronaut in space, perhaps Houston should know what's going on up there?
They'd think we're crazy.
Right, but your job is to provide them accurate information from out in space. You're the eyes and ears of NASA.
You want to start an intergalactic war between the aliens and us?
Well, I don't think people wholeheartedly...
Did you see Independence Day?
Did see that.
Silence! That was the answer. Silence.
So, in your opinion, you talked about these lights that you saw that were unidentified. You're not sure what they were. Yeah. Do you believe they were what we would refer to as aliens?
I know they were.
How do you know?
Because I'm friends with them now.
You're friends with the aliens that are on the moon?
Oh, yeah.
How exactly does that work?
They come visit me here in my space station, also known as my garage.
Oh, your garage, okay. Yeah. So they go back and forth from the moon where they live to Earth where they visit you?
Sure, we hang out here. I get together with them for the anal probes.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm Buzz.
Wait, that's what an anal probe sounds like?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Woo!
I would think that would be the worst part of interacting with aliens.
Oh, I'm Buzz.
Right. Boy, they do it a lot, don't they?
They do if you pay them enough.
That's an awful lot of anal probes. So what are they here for? What are they trying? I mean, what are they trying to learn by being inside your butt?
That's a fair question.
I don't care as long as they're there.
106.7 K-Rock.
Hey!
Oh, shoot. Sorry, my bad. It's the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:33.
There are a lot of reasons for you to visit KROQ.com and KevinBean.com. We've got a bunch of new stuff up on the website, including a complete schedule, you'll like this, Ralph, of where you're going to be at Comic-Con in San Diego this week.
I do like that.
You gave it out on the air, but for listeners who, you know, want a little bit of a cheat sheet so they can keep up with the, you know, they're in the Garmy or something like that, they want to follow you all around San Diego, you can find that at KROQ.com. We also had a conversation with Landon Donovan yesterday talking about the game, which is tomorrow night yep. against Manchester United. We got that up. Weezer stopped by yesterday to world premiere their new song, Back to the Shack. Hear that interview. Our recent visit with Weird Al. And what I'm most excited about is Beer Mug on the red carpet of the 2014 CBS TCAs. Now, that's a lot of Hollywood language, but what does that mean, Kevin?
It's the Television Critics Award. Award? No.
Association.
Association.
Yeah.
And it's basically for the TV shows that are coming out, CBS, Showtime, and the CW. So Muggs is talking to stars of the shows.
Fantastic.
And doing some fantastic work, I might say. Jamie Camille? I haven't heard of most of
these. Jaime Camille.
Yes. I haven't heard of most of these people because these are shows that haven't come
mostly
on
mostly new
yet.
Shows, right, yeah.
This one is Jane the Virgin, and I want to ask you guys where Beer Mug is heading with this interview. I'm going to stop it at a certain point and ask where he's going.
All right.
The title is very subtle, you know, Jane the Virgin, and it's about a girl that gets accidentally artificially inseminated.
Wow, that's quite a plot line there. So you were born in Mexico?
Mexico City, yes.
That's awesome. Now, I don't have any Latin blood in me. My cameraman Carlos does, but
where wow. is he going
this
with?
My
I don't have
favorite
any
new game.
I don't have any Latin blood in me,
but I like Mexican food.
Bean.
Wow. Is he trying to bring it back around to the show about are there any virgins in Mexico? I can't imagine what
he's
doing.
You're such
here.
A fool to think that he would come back to the
he
show.
He would tie it in somehow.
And
okay,
not,
all
and
right.
Not to himself.
Is it about music and how he plays the drums?
I think it's loves mariachis.
Yeah.
I think it's actually less believable than any of you would ever be able to guess.
Oh, my God.
Could I ever be the star of it, my own telenovela, being not being Latin? No.
Who could have guessed that?
Never.
Wow.
Never. Why would you ask that question, Beer Mug?
I don't know. I'm trying to just keep them there and get material. And
I have no Latin blood in me, but could I ever be the star of a telenovela?
No. The guy pauses for about 2 seconds and goes, no.
At least he did the right thing.
Wendell Pierce is a cast member of Donovan.
Ray Donovan. Oh,
yeah. Muggs doesn't know who he is, so he goes through finding out what the guy's been in. And then at the end, he admits that he's not seen anything that the guy's been in. So kind of a painful process.
You know what? You do have that familiar face. I know I've seen you definitely in Ray Donovan.
Definitely.
What else have you been in?
You know me from The Wire. You know,
that's right.
I played Bunk on The Wire. I think that's going to be the first line of my obit. You know?
All right, first line of my obit. So, of course, biggest thing in his career.
Sure. I know who he is just from his voice.
Right.
Bean from our Kevin and Bean morning show actually got me the Wire box set for Christmas. I have yet to watch it. Not yet.
Why would you tell him you haven't watched it?
Especially
how
right after
help?
He said I was on The Wire, and you're like, oh, yeah.
The easiest thing in the world to say is, yeah, love it. Loved it. Loved it. Great work.
Too honest sometimes.
You're too stupid.
But you've already lied to the man's face.
Right. You already lied to him. Why do
you already pretended to recognize him from The Wire, and then 5 seconds later you say, yeah, but I never saw it.
Sure.
I haven't watched it.
He continues.
Is it sort of intimidating when you're asked, you know, to play a role with such high-caliber actors?
Ralph, I think you're going to want to hear this one again.
You yourself are a high-caliber actor. I'm not trying to, you know, but, like, acting is a tough occupation. How do you guys practice?
Let's just let it sink in. Let it sink in.
How is that not? How often do you guys practice, or do you work hard? How does he end it with practice?
First, acting is a tough occupation. How do you guys practice?
Is it sort of intimidating when you're asked, you know, to play a role with such high-caliber actors? You yourself are a high-caliber actor. I'm not trying to, you know, but, like, acting is a tough occupation. How do you guys practice?
So, Muggs, when you got to that first part of the question where you're basically saying you're the worst actor on your show, did you see something in his face? It looked like his feelings were hurt. That's why you had to add that. No, no, not that you're not good, too.
Well,
are you afraid you were insulting him or
yeah,
what?
Mid-sentence, I thought, this is coming out wrong. He would take it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Adam Corson is an actor from a TV show called Seed. And they just start free-form thinking of things that they like. And Beer Mug's first offering is food.
Sunlight.
We got sunlight. Is that bothering your eyes?
I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm okay. I like sun.
Good. Good.
I like shade, too. I also like women.
I like women.
I like long walks on the beach.
How about beer and hot wings?
Way to my heart, man.
Have you been to Wingstop?
All right, now here's where the interview turns. Beer Mug really gets excited now. He could care less about any of these TV shows.
Well, he's talking about something he knows something about.
Have you been to Wingstop?
I have been to Wingstop, of course. Actually, there used to be one right near me, closed down. Broke my heart.
Where do you live?
Hollywood and Fuller.
Did it just close down? It was the one on La Brea.
Yeah, it closed down. It closed down.
That sucks. They just came out with a new flavor.
What flavor?
Habanero mango.
Muggs has never bonded more with anyone.
Right. And how is that?
And notice everything he's talking about this crystal clear, to the point, completely well thought out, well spoken.
Got the information at his fingertips, easily recalled.
Yep.
Austin Basis, I believe Basis is his name, from Beauty and the Beast.
Austin, tell me a little bit about Beauty and the Beast. Is it one camera, two cameras?
Sometimes they use a lot of cameras.
Okay, wait. Muggs, please explain.
What I meant to ask was, is it a shot with one camera or multi-angle is what I meant to ask.
That would have been just as good, actually.
Austin, tell me a little bit about Beauty and the Beast. Is it one camera, two cameras?
Sometimes they use a lot of cameras.
Well, I'm really excited to see the show. I've actually never seen it, but everything you've been describing sounds really interesting. Is it in its second season?
We're going into our third season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Third season. Gosh. You've had time to check it out, is what he's saying. And it's the third season.
Is there such thing as a two-camera show, Ralph? No, I thought there was either one or three. Multi.
Or multi.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Usually it's one or three.
I was confused by that.
Never two.
It's never in the history of TV. It's never been two.
Nobody shoots anything with two. No.
This is Candace Patton, who is in The Flash. And so Beer Mug thinks, oh, The Flash, that's comic book superhero time.
And yesterday on Stephen Colbert, the Falcon is going to take over for Captain America.
I did not hear that, but what? The what?
Falcon.
What?
So we will have
an African-American Captain America, which is awesome.
I'm okay with that.
You got two things going for you. You're African-American and you're a lady.
Winning!
Why would you tell somebody that they're African-American and a woman? Well, don't they know
she
that?
She probably knows that.
Well, yeah, no. We had a conversation about Thor being turning into a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the Falcon taking over for Captain America. So
right.
That was the tie-in.
Right.
But she's not. She has nothing to do with that project.
I know,
but Captain America.
If they're ever in need of a black African American lady, well, that's redundant.
Those are the best kind of African American ladies.
If they're ever in need of an African American female to play a superhero, things are going well for her.
She's got a leg up because she's already a woman and a black African American.
All right. I love that Muggs is telling anyone that their leg up is that they're black and female, because those are the two things that really get you to the top of any casting
call
list.
That's true.
You skip the line. And finally, for this particular section, he talks to Noel Fisher about Shameless. And it is crazy, I guess it's supposed to be an insult he gives to them.
Noel Fisher in Shameless, Showtime. Big fan of the show. I got to tell you, watching it makes me very manic, depressive, and brings out my bipolar syndrome. How is it acting on the show and happy and funny, and then the next minute a kid is overdosing on cocaine?
How is it acting on the show when the kid's overdosing on cocaine?
And what does that have to do? I'm sorry, I lost. What does that have to do with Beer Mug's bipolar?
That watching the show brings out Beer Mug's bipolar
syndrome. Yes.
Okay, because it makes him happy and then sad, one right after another?
I guess.
Big fan of the show. I got to tell you, watching it makes me very manic, depressive, and brings out my bipolar syndrome.
That's not a compliment.
It's not even a question.
No, but I mean, I feel like he was trying to say it's a powerful show. I feel like he wanted to.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
Yes.
It's up and down and up and down.
But the way you say it, it makes it sound like every time you turn that show on, you want to kill yourself. And that's not necessarily what you want.
How is it acting on the show and happy and funny, and then the next minute a kid is overdosing on cocaine?
And do you practice?
Is that technically a question?
No. I had a hard time with this one.
No.
Really?
I had little sleep and my words.
Oh, here we go.
Why would you say it brings out my bipolar?
You're right, Kevin.
How is it acting on the show? What kind of question is that?
That made no sense.
Ever.
But Kevin hit it on the head.
Did they practice?
I was trying to make I was trying to give him a compliment.
That was a compliment.
Like, it was a powerful show.
So you wanted this person to feel great about the show that does this to you.
Big fan of the show. I got to tell you, watching it makes me very manic, depressive, and brings out my bipolar syndrome.
That's a hell of a compliment right there.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
That's what we're shooting for.
Happy to be a part of it.
So you're telling me that that's only round
that's
one?
That's part one. We have a part two.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's coming up. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
It is Comic-Con week down in San Diego. We will be broadcasting live on Thursday and Friday. Got a preview of some of the cool things that are going to be happening down in San Diego with Jessica Chobot next hour. She's going to be joining us from the Nerdist News. Also, comedian Bobby Lee later on this morning show. Right now, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Not all the news coming out of Palestine is bad, by the way.
Oh, really?
There's good news,
Seems
too.
Seems bad.
Yeah, I know, but there's good news, too. In the Palestinian city of Ramallah, they are currently erecting a Krusty Krab restaurant. For those of you who are not familiar with the Krusty Krab, this is the restaurant where SpongeBob SquarePants works. He makes the Krabby Patties there. They are building a real-life exact replica of the Krusty Krab. The exterior is being built to resemble the restaurant in the cartoon, complete with flags on the roof and bullseye tables and restroom doors to match. There's even a statue of Mr. Krabs, the restaurant's proprietor. All happening thanks to the folks at Salta Burgers is the name of the company that is putting this together. So if you next time you're in Palestine, you can go to a Krusty Krab and get a Krabby Patty.
If I were opening a restaurant in Palestine, I would not put a bullseye on it.
Yeah, I guess not. Two things, according to this story, are still unsure. The restaurant's opening date and whether this company actually has the rights to open a restaurant that's copyrighted by Nickelodeon.
Excellent.
Which may be why it's happening in Palestine and not in Pacoima.
Because who's going to go in and talk to them about it?
That's right. You got a problem with me? No? You're fine.
So everything's
enjoy
good.
Enjoy your Krabby Patties. It's Tuesday. That means new release day. Here's what you can pick up. 5 Seconds of Summer. By 5 Seconds of Summer.
Yeah, I got no time for them.
They are the hottest thing going, Bean.
I know they are. This is for people for whom One Direction is too old.
That's right. This was the band that one of the Jenner girls, either Chlamydia or
sure
Cairo.
Chlamydia.
She was announcing them on the MTV.
Oh
that's
yeah.
Words. And she had just a complete mental breakdown. She couldn't read the freaking cue cards. And then I'm pretty sure she said, reading is hard, or I'm really bad at reading.
I got it. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Their debut on the Billboard 200 number 2 this summer. And now we welcome one. Guys, I'm the worst reader. They're only getting bigger. Take a look.
I'm the worst reader. It's so funny. Reading is dumb.
She's like female me. That's not what you want to be.
But look at the house I grew up in. What do you expect?
Yeah, that's true. Trouble in Paradise by LaRue. Nobody's Smiling by Common. And I Remember by Cascade. Those are your CDs you can pick up today. DVDs. Transcendence. Starring Johnny Depp as a guy who gets his consciousness uploaded into a computer.
And that was terrible, right?
I don't know. Never saw it.
Didn't do well.
Never saw it either.
Sabotage. 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 You say sabotage. I say sabotage. Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That was definitely terrible.
Yeah, that definitely was. Tyler Perry's Singles Mom Club.
Wow, it's a banner day today.
Big week.
Starring Nia Long and Amy Smart.
Need them all.
And then TV shows on DVD. Season one of Wahlburgers is finally available. You can pick that up. So.
Wow.
It's a special, special day in entertainment.
Sure is.
Sure is.
Sure is.
Sure is. Kanye West is at it again. Oh, have you read this GQ magazine? Have you read this interview in GQ?
I saw he did an interview. Woo! Is it worse than regular Kanye?
Woo! He's on fire. Let me give you some quotes from the interview, shall I?
All right.
If you're wearing layers, you can be in L.A., New York, Paris, in an airport lounge, or on a plane, taking layers on and off. And the proportions get emotional.
What?
You know how a graphic can express a feeling or an emotion? Layers can, too.
Huh.
Sounds like beer mug.
Wow. So he's expressing emotion by changing...
By his layers.
The clothes?
You put, no, not change. Just put layers on. That's the emotion. Huh. I guess that emotion is, I'm hot. Oh, no. Yeah. I'm cooler now. I'm a little chilly. Okay, now I feel warmer again. Here's another one. Skinny pants are rock and roll. Big coats are hip-hop. I'm looking for 50% rock and roll, 50% hip-hop, 50% genius. Because, you know, for genius, you have to be at 150%.
Wow.
Most geniuses understand that you can't be higher than 100%.
Well, most geniuses are not Kanye West.
I guess not.
Here's another one. Me, as Kanye West, I guarantee you, I'm more than 50% responsible for every men's shoe that they sell.
Then who sells?
Me, the singular person. More than 50% responsible for every Balenciaga shoe they sell. And they would say, you can't come to the show because you're a celebrity. But in all honesty, no ego, I have a level of influence. And I have a level of respect for the designers. And we move product on that Barney's floor.
I'm sorry, did he say no ego?
No ego.
Yeah, that's what Kanye's famous for,
no
ego.
The singular person.
Huh.
50%. So, it's another 50% he's throwing in there. 200% so far that he's working on.
So how is he selling all these shoes if he's not even in with the company enough to come to the fashion show?
Because
does he wear them and
the
other people
influence.
Buy them? Okay.
I'm guessing he doesn't, would be my guess.
And it's Kanye, 50% more Kanye. Hmm. 50% more shoes are sold. So he sells most people 3 shoes, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Because that would be 50% more than the shoes that they buy.
Rap the new rock and roll.
That's
we
true.
The real rock stars, and I'm the biggest of all of them.
You are. You're a creative genius. Today's celebrity birthdays. Game show host Alex Trebek is 74 years old today. Singer George Clinton turns 73. Danny Glover is 68. Don Henley of the Eagles turns 67. Willem Dafoe is 59. John Leguizamo is 50 years old, as is David Spade. Rhys Ifans, 47 years old. And Selena Gomez celebrates her 22nd birthday.
Selena!
Selena.
Selena! Miss Gomez! Selena! God damn it!
Yeah, that's how we all feel about Beer Mug. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I want part two of Beer Mug's red carpet interviews at the TCA.
They're on the way.
Okay.
They're coming up.
Jessica Chobot from the Nerdist website as well joins us to talk Comic-Con in just a few minutes. First, though, Kevin, when the Sound of Music Live was presented on NBC last Christmas time, did you watch it?
No.
It was a sensation, you'll recall.
But not very good, as I also recall.
You mean a lot of people watched it, but
yes.
Most of them hated it?
A lot of people watched it. I don't know if most of them hated it. I do know the critics were not very kind to it. I mean, that's got to be one of the toughest things in the world is to put a live show, a live, you know, stage presentation on television,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah,
right?
I think so, too.
I think it'd be tough to do. Well, it was such a hit that NBC announced that this was not going to be the last time they were doing it. And we were waiting breathlessly to find out what this year's movie was going to be. And they chose Peter Pan, which was a book, obviously, and then a stage show, and it's been made into a movie numerous times. So Peter Pan is going to be happening. It's going to air on December the 4th. It's going to be live once again. No casting information has been unveiled yet, like who will play Peter, except for Captain Hook, played by the great Christopher Walken. And I think that's a fantastic choice.
That's weird. I have a strange – I don't know. It's weird to picture him doing that.
Because you think of him in so many movies, especially in recent years, as being a bad guy, for instance?
Well,
I guess.
He can't not be Christopher Walken.
Yeah, that's...
I mean,
yeah.
The way that he talks is the way
he
talks.
He doesn't exactly disappear into a role.
No, you're right about that. But he is not only Academy Award winner, he has been nominated for several Tonys throughout the years, an Emmy winner. I mean, the guy is a terrific actor, and we've seen him, you know, from the Fatboy Slim video from back in the day. We know what a great dancer he is as well. But what does he plan to bring to the role as Captain Hook? We asked Dave, who can we talk to? And can you believe it? He got Christopher Walken himself to join us on the phone to talk about the upcoming show on NBC. Hi, Mr. Walken. Welcome, sir. You okay?
I'm God.
Are you sword fighting?
Yeah. All right. Time out. Captain Bean.
Hi. Yes. Hi, Mr. Walken.
Sorry you caught me. I was a little busy rehearsing for Captain Hook.
Right. What were you doing there? Was that a sword fight?
I was sword fighting.
Okay.
Because Captain Hook is a pirate.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Arr.
Well, you might need to work on that.
Arr. Maybe you should. Maybe. Arr.
You should practice?
Arr.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the role. Is it exciting for you to think about being live on a national television network?
Of course. I've done lots of theater before, but to reach an audience of this size with a project like this, it's beyond exciting.
Right. And you're 71 years old. You've been acting for a long, long time. It must be fun to be doing something totally different as well.
I can't wait to put on that hat and that big mustache and that hook.
Right.
Go after Peter Pan.
Uh-huh.
Little bastard. I'm going to kill him.
What?
Well, find him and take my sword and run it through his guts.
But don't you have a script that you have to follow?
Until he bleeds all over the stage.
No.
That's not how that story goes.
I want his little dead. I want his little fairy friend dead.
No, not
little Tinkerbell.
Oh, you can't hurt Tinkerbell. She's
adorable.
I'm going to
get Tinkerbell.
Oh,
don't get me wrong. I'm taking Tinkerbell.
Captain Hook, look.
And I'm going to rip her wings off.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
That's terrible. Like you would a fly.
No, please don't talk about that.
Then I'm going to take Tinkerbell, the tiny little butt.
Nope.
I don't want to hear this.
And I'm going to smack it and say, I don't believe in you. And then she'll die.
Why? What's wrong with you? Why are you so angry today?
Because I'm a villain. I'm Captain Hook.
Right, but do you know the story?
I have to get into character or else none of this will work.
But you're Captain Hook and you scare the kids.
Yeah,
but ultimately,
They know I'm going to kill them.
Right, they think you're going to, but ultimately you don't because they win.
I'm
going to
take all the Lost Boys. I'm going to go on the island of Lost Boys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to drop napalm on them.
What is wrong with you?
I'm going to burn the Lost Boys.
Oh, my God.
No,
piles of cinder.
This is horrible.
Nobody wants to see this.
Then I'll probably urinate on the ashes of the Lost Boys.
What's wrong with you? This is going to be Christmas time.
Ah, my favorite time of year for murdering people.
Okay. You're going to scar the youth of America if you do any of this. Just stick to the script, Mr. Walken.
This is a new Captain Hook for a new time.
Sounds like it. Wow.
Where these little assholes are getting murdered.
All right.
By Captain Hook
right.
and my friend Smee. I can't wait for me and Smee to get on my boat and just start murdering children.
We're going to let you go back to what you were doing.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
What's happening?
You recognize that sound?
Yes. That's the ticking clock in the crocodile.
No, it's the watch that's up my ass.
Oh.
That's pretty loud, considering it's up your ass.
Is it possible that Jessica Chobot, in studio with us here on the Kevin Beach, a host of Nerdist News, is too geeky for us to follow?
A little bit.
Is it possible
maybe
she's already lost us?
Yeah, that is possible.
Jessica, you just sat down. We already have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. I thought everybody knew what a 3DS was.
All right. Walk us through it. We're having a conversation about taking the train to and from Comic-Con. Of course, it's happening this week in San Diego at the Convention Center. And obviously, you have a very busy week all the way till Sunday night before you come back. And then what do you sense? You're on the train coming back and then what?
Well, on the train coming back, then I'm probably just going to pop open my 3DS, pass out, and just collect all the Miis for my street pass so that I can go into Tomodachi life and have them marry each other and have babies.
What?
Exactly. I'm going to suggest that we don't want to know that anymore about that.
All right. Maybe we're not on a need-to-know basis.
How do we even know
what that is.
I don't either, Roddy. Well, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, Jessica. So nice to have you in.
Thanks very much.
How long have you been going to Comic-Con?
Oh, my gosh. This is probably my 7th year now. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. I think it is. About 7 years.
And your busiest weekend ever coming up, I bet.
You know, I hope not. This is the first year with Nerdist that I'm going there, and I'm very excited and looking forward to it. I know they've got a bunch of lineup interviews and panels and stuff that I have to do, but the toughest was when I was over at G4, man. That was rough.
They ran you ragged?
Oh, my God. I mean, from like 5 a.m. to like midnight every day was all over the show floor.
Oh, my God.
And here's the thing. The show floor, while a wonderful, exciting thing, sucks because of how many people are crowded around there. So, you know, something that could normally take you 2 minutes to walk to is like...
Plus, you're an attractive girl. That doesn't help.
Oh,
like,
you know,
we could walk through there and no one really says anything.
You know, you'd be surprised. I actually don't really get stopped that often.
What?
I think it's the look of determination of I just need to get to where I need to go so I can do my job.
If you talk to me, I will kill you. Is that the look in your eye?
It's just I'm focused.
Okay. You can use that
word. We heard that that Nerdist is doing something differently down there this year. They have their own area, their own broadcast location. What are they doing?
Yeah, so we actually have a stage set up over at Petco Park where we're going to be doing all of our interviews out of live. And
you
then
did that
obviously
last
we'll be posting
year too,
it.
Didn't you?
I don't know because I
that's
so
where
wasn't
Zach
there.
Zach Levi did his stuff.
I wasn't working with them then.
Ah.
Obviously, it's better now.
Yeah, of course. That's what I meant.
But so there's that. We have a couple of panels. I know we have a Nerdist Industry panel, which, although it's not going to be at Petco Park, it's going to be at the Indigo Room on Saturday. And then the big, super awesome, cool thing is we actually teamed up with 2K and Gearbox to create a Borderlands laser tag event every day.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that
I'm actually
fun.
Really
that sounds
looking
fun.
Forward to. We've tested out the guns at the office. The laser tag guns, let me preface that.
Yeah.
And they're pretty sensitive. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be like Nerf or something.
Yeah.
And half of them wouldn't even register, but...
They mean business.
They mean business.
Can you believe sometimes that this is your job?
No. I actually do think about that every once in a while.
What'd you do today? Laser tag.
Yeah, laser tag. Oh, I had to play the Destiny beta yesterday. It was really hard. No, I look back on it 90% of the time. I feel really, really grateful and awesome and like I can't believe this. And then there's that 10% where I just kind of think to myself, ha, 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 mother.
Yeah.
Remember all those times you kicked me out of the house and said to go play outside because nothing this would never amount
would
to anything.
Would have never helped you.
Right.
Look at me
all
now.
The watching Star Wars and playing video games. What's that going to get you?
Oh,
only a career, right?
Only a career. Only a career in L.A. It's cool.
We're going to be broadcasting live from the Hard Rock Hotel on Thursday and Friday. We've got a lot of terrific guests lined up, and we're inviting our listeners to come on by and see the show as we broadcast live. But I can't even imagine the things that you're going to be involved with. Like, are there any guests in particular, for instance, that you know you're going to be working with this weekend?
Well, I know that and this isn't for sure, but I think we might have Jack Black set up for an interview.
Nice.
And I'm actually not the one doing the scheduling, so I don't know. So for me, it's going to be a bit of a surprise, too. And then there's a top secret thing that I can't talk about, but I'll be doing that at some point.
A top secret thing.
That she can't talk about, which she said right after she said top secret thing.
Yeah.
Hmm. Does it involve Weird Al's UHF movie?
No, but I wish it did.
It's a good guess, though,
yeah.
B.
He made it sound like something was coming out of Comic-Con about the 25th anniversary of UHF. So
really?
I just wondered.
That's only important to you, Bean. But
Weird Al put the first of his videos last week up on Nerdist.com, so they're working together. So that's another reason why I thought maybe there was a tie-in there.
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of bummed. We were supposed to be in the backdrop, and I couldn't go because I had to take care of my son.
You don't have time for a family anymore, Jessica.
You've got
nerds to satisfy.
I know. So ashamed.
What is the big thing? You know, it used to be a big thing came out of Comic-Con. Now it seems like it's a dozen big things that come out of Comic-Con. But what's the rumor, the word on the street, the thing that we're thinking is going to happen that everybody's a buzz about?
Gosh, you know, I mean,
Is there a movie they're unveiling? What we're going to see something from that we haven't seen before?
I'm not sure because things have shifted a lot. You know, last year or a couple of years back when they had, Scott Pilgrim, and they had that a screening of that there, and a couple other movies had gotten released there. You know, it I don't think that it responded as well as they had hoped. So I don't know if you're really going to see much of that anymore.
It's a weird situation the week of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Because everything is so in flux.
I mean, obviously all the Star Wars news, but they've really been hitting that hard even before right. Comic-Con has started. So, you know, and Marvel too, with all their yeah. announcements and with
yeah, they're not saving it.
Nobody's
anymore.
Saving anything. So, last, I mean, well, maybe they
last
are.
Last year was it was Godzilla too, remember? That was a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's
they showed
true.
Some scenes from it.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I like that one a lot.
See Planet of the Apes?
You know, here's the thing.
That's
I don't like anthropomorphic animals. They freak me out. I can't handle them. I don't like it when animals act like people.
Yeah.
You would. Oh, it's
I know.
So good.
I know.
It's so good.
And I can.
And they're so people-like.
I know that would
freak
me out.
That would freak you out even more than anything
yeah.
you've ever seen.
Are you afraid of them?
So I get angry.
Because they might not be real.
I'm sorry.
This is an issue.
Just a minute, Bean. You get angry.
I get kind of irritated by it. I hate Disney movies because of this as well. Only the animal Disney movies, the ones that talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you get angry because?
Because they're acting like people.
And that bugs you because they're not people.
Yeah, yeah. It's really strange. I feel like I deal with people enough that the cutesy little animals that I'm watching, I don't need to have them act as people as
I've
well.
Never heard that before,
it's,
I don't think.
It's a thing.
I haven't either.
Is it a
now,
thing
is it
just with you, or is it a thing?
I feel like it's a thing probably just with me.
Okay.
Is it only with animals? I mean, do you have any problems with when you go to the movies and there are aliens who are acting like people, speaking English and whatnot?
No, that doesn't bother me.
That doesn't
only
bother
animals.
Me.
Only animals.
Only animals.
Okay.
And only animals that speak language, like an actual language. Not animals that speak, like, animal language. Like,
right.
Pokemon, they only say, like, if it's Pikachu, it's only Pikachu, Pikachu. You know, they don't actually
right.
speak.
Right.
But, like, Disney, they have conversations,
yeah.
and that drives
and
me
And Grumpy
nuts.
Cat you're okay with, because he doesn't talk.
Yeah, he doesn't talk. He's awesome.
You're sort, so of,
you're
weird. That.
You're sort okay. of weird that yeah. way. I've never yeah. heard anybody that...
It's a thing.
It's just, like, a different way of telling a story.
Yeah.
And you're well, missing a great movie.
That being said, I can appreciate that the apes in that movie look amazing.
Well, I mean, that's the part that I think would drive you the craziest is that they nailed it.
Yeah.
They really do look like they're human, and they talk, and you believe it.
Yeah. Like, the art major in me can look at that and think, gosh, that is some good rendering.
How do they do
but
that?
But then the slightly
the crazy
off
person
crazy person looks at it and goes, oh, no.
They're just
this.
Animals.
This is awful.
All right. Well, we have a new feature called Jessica Chobot Needs Professional Help. And we'll take a quick break. You can follow her, by the way, on Twitter at her name, Jessica Chobot, also at Nerdist. And we want to talk about more going on with Nerdist and also your podcast, Bizarre States, and some more about Comic-Con when we return right after this on K-Rock. The host of Nerdist News at Nerdist.com, Jessica Chobot, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are delightful, by the way, Jessica.
Oh, thank you very much.
You were just talking right as the song was running out there about how you want to get more into writing for games, but you have a game, a video game out, Daylight, that you're a writer on, right?
Yeah. I did. That it didn't get the best reviews.
Okay, all right.
You know, but
so back to the drawing board. Try
go
again.
Back to the drawing board. From my perspective, though, it was excellent learning experience, and you know, part of the reason I think it was slightly misunderstood by the reviewers. I mean, this was a game that we made based off of, like, those web games that were like Slender Man and Amnesia, you know, the really quippy,
mm-hmm. right.
Flashy in your facey ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so there wasn't a ton of depth, one
sure.
might say, involved in this. And so that was always our goal. So oddly enough.
But that was your first attempt.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. Yeah. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Well, no, but that's what I was going to say. Like, oddly enough, the streamers, the Twitch streamers, and the YouTube audience that would play and post, and that was perfect for them, and they loved it.
Right.
But, you know, typical game reviewers, which I don't know where you go, what college offers game journalism, FYI. Just throwing
yeah,
that one
strange.
Out there.
Anybody that does that for a living is it's a little bizarre.
Yeah.
There are a lot of weird jobs in your world, though, Jessica.
Yeah, there are. After the first year of working over at IGN, when I first started back in like 2007-ish, I think 6 or 7, I quickly learned the word journalist doesn't really apply to what I'm doing.
Yeah,
well, so I stopped calling myself that.
It doesn't apply to what most people are doing these days.
Didn't they just conclude the big the video game playing for money convention deal where some guy won like $2 million for playing video games a few days ago?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
You mean like a world championship?
Yeah. Yeah, they've got the world, I'm going to blank now. Oh my gosh. The MLGs.
Yes.
They've got that, and those probably, I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. Those
yeah, I think so.
Up.
I think so.
I've hosted a few of those here and there. I think Battlefield and Call of Duty. And you know what's so funny? For me, it's not really fun watching those on your monitor.
Right.
But if you go to an event, you get caught up in it.
Really?
It is fun.
I can't
imagine
that. Because when I do come across them on YouTube, I go, why would anybody watch this?
It's a totally, maybe it's because I'm with the same way with sports, so maybe it's just me. Like, I have to be at the event to get kind of hyped up.
It's always better, yeah.
But when you get there, and it's down to, like, one teenager and another teenager, like, probably both, like, maybe 16, 17, 18.
Right.
And they're down to 1v1, like, instant kill on some sort of random map. And it's, like, millions of dollars on the line.
All of a sudden, it's the most important thing in the world.
And you're just like, oh, my God. And you ask, these kids are actually really great. And maybe they've been trained enough now that they know their answers. But when you interview them and you ask them, like, what do you want to spend your money on? 9 times out of 10, they'll say something very responsible. Like, I'm going to buy a car, but something, you know, that gets good mileage. And then everything else is going to college. And you're like, brilliant maneuver, kid.
Did not
see that coming.
Yeah.
That's funny. But Jessica Chobot has a podcast, by the way, called Bizarre States. And this is where you talk about real life things in the world, like aliens.
So I'm not saying they're real or not real. I'm just saying we like to hear people's stories. It kind of all stems from the fact that I'm just obsessed with, you know, I mean, like ghosts and hauntings and, you know.
The paranormal.
The paranormal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good umbrella for it. I like a little bit of everything, like all of it. And for years I've been trying to pitch shows to people to get me on there. So that, like, a ghost hunting show of some sort, because I just need to do that in my life. And of course I've been rejected constantly. So finally I was like, fine, F you guys. I'm going to make my own thing and I'm going to put it up. And so that's the podcast. So
have you come across anything that has blown your mind? Something that is irrefutable in your mind that the rest of us would be surprised by?
You know, I personally have had an experience at the what's the one in Long Beach? The boat.
Queen Mary?
The Queen Mary.
Yes.
And then I swear to God.
It's haunted?
I saw a UFO in college. I swear to God.
Where were you in college?
So I went to college in Ohio, and my parents lived in Michigan. And so to get between those two areas, you'd have these huge expanses of just
nothingness.
Nothingness that you're driving through. And so I was driving home, and I like to drive at night because it's a two-lane highway. So if one person gets stuck, you know, it screws up traffic for miles and miles and miles. So I would drive at night because chances are I'd be fine. So I'm driving, and I'm by myself. I'm the only one on the highway, and I look off to the left, and I see these three really bright lights really far in the distance in a triangle formation. And I'm just like, huh, those are really bright. I don't remember anything being over there, you know, because this is just farmland. And as I'm thinking that, one of the lights shoots off up. One of the lights goes to the left and, like, does this turn and takes off. And the other light did the same thing in a different direction, and I lost it.
Close encounters.
Whoops, sorry, wrong clip, sorry.
So
that's
pretty
freaky.
Yeah, I was really nervous. I started looking at my clock to make sure I wasn't missing any time. And I'm like, oh, God, what are they going to? They're going to know that I'm thinking of them. They're going to come get me.
And then did you look for that for the rest of your life when you were going back and forth?
No. I mean, I'd glance.
How do you not?
I mean, I'd glance, but I wouldn't be, like, hunty about it.
So it was one of those things that you thought you knew enough about aviation to know that it wasn't just a plane or something.
Yeah, I mean, that one was a real weird. They went in so many different directions so quickly, and it was a little strange.
It's funny, the people who believe in aliens could very well be right.
I mean, I don't see how
But to a lot of people, you're considered crazy as soon as you start talking that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They just write you off and just go, okay.
That or, like, animals that talk.
Jessica's gone bye-bye.
Before we run out of time here, you're going to be heading back to the office and putting up a new Nerdist News Today. You already know what you're going to be talking about?
No, it's actually going to be a surprise. I have no idea what I'm going to be talking about. I'm sure with the way things are going, it's going to be either Star Wars or Marvel.
Why is there new Star Wars news every single day? Shouldn't we save something for when the movie comes out?
Well, there will be. I mean, there's the story. Well, no, actually, they kind of leaked that one. Kind of, sort of.
When does the movie come out?
Oh, when?
It's not till,
like, what, 2016? 16?
I think you're right. I think it is 2016.
2016?
So we may be hyping it a little early.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just keep that train a-running. But they've got the fans to support it.
Yeah, that's true.
I've got my fingers crossed, but I'm not. I've got my fingers crossed, but I'm not holding my breath. How's that? That's good.
There's
a good one.
One more time, if people want to find you and what you guys are doing in the Nerdist.com down at Comic-Con, where should they go? What should they look for?
Come head over to Petco Park. Not only get some hands on some Borderlands laser tag, which will be awesome, but also you can watch us do all of our interviews and panels and whatnot over there.
And it sounds like you have no idea, just because of the nature of Comic-Con, who's going to be there at what time. So just
our writers do, because they're the ones that are scheduling everything. But for me, I have to show up and then like kind of learn it on the spot.
Just
so
see what's going on.
It's a grab bag of awesomeness for me.
All right.
Jessica is just winging life right now.
Yeah.
That's what she's doing.
Flying by the seat of my pants.
And it's working for you. Great to have you in. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Beer Mug went out on the red carpet at something called the Television Critics Association and interviewed a bunch of people in upcoming shows. And round one just knocked my breath away. I mean, I have not recovered yet from the
great
interview.
Knocked your breath away.
It did.
Do you like to go in depth to that anymore?
And you're telling me there's part two coming up right after the top of the hour.
Yeah,
more Beer Mug interviews. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. And comedian Bobby Lee as well.
He talks about his twisted ball sack. That's all I'll
tell
you.
Okay. All right.
So that's good.
First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Mr. Grimman?
Did Beer Mug's interview also take your socks off?
Did not.
It did both of those things.
It knocked your breath away and took your socks off?
Both.
That's great.
And I can feel my nostrils moving.
I'm sure you can.
I have a lot of trouble with understanding how the human body works, don't I?
Apparently you do. Justin Bieber is a dick.
Right.
Correct. But at least you don't live next door to him. Because apparently if you do, you're in for a world of pain. TMZ says cops were called to his brand new Beverly Hills condo where he just moved in 6 times over the weekend.
6 times this weekend?
This past weekend alone, 6 times.
Asshole.
I've had some noise complaints in the past. They seem to take those a little more seriously. The police say, seriously, turn it down. They come back.
Don't make us come back here again.
And
that's what I've always been told.
And if they do, they're pissed.
Yeah, a cop shot me when he came back.
I
had the stereo too loud. He said, don't make me come back. And he had to come back, and he shot me.
Shot you with a bullet?
Killed me.
Well, that's
shot me dead.
I don't think that's true.
Trust me, I was the dead one. I know.
All right.
But Bieber, 6 times. They came back, and they said, turn it down. He said, okay. And then they left, and then we went up again, and the neighbors called, and they came back, turned it down, okay. No ticket, no nothing.
Do you move immediately if Justin Bieber moves in next to you?
I sure think I'm thinking about it.
I mean,
if
seriously,
I have a condo, if I'm in a condo in Beverly Hills and he's next door to me, and that level of noise and partying music is going on, plus the paparazzi and the attention and the fans and just everything that follows him,
yeah,
all of that,
it's that mayhem.
I think, hell yeah, it's time for me to look into something else.
He'll start throwing eggs at you. You don't want that.
You'll be happy to know, Kevin, that George Harrison is dead.
What?
Because you hate the Beatles.
I don't hate the Beatles. It's just they're not my taste.
You're glad he's dead, though.
Yeah. And by George Harrison, yes, I mean the George Harrison tree.
What is the George Harrison tree?
George Harrison tree was planted in Griffith Park in 2004 as a tribute to George. There's a plaque in front of the tree honoring George and the fact he spent his last days in Los Angeles. But the tree is now dead.
What happened to the tree?
It was killed by
Mark David Chapman?
That's a good guess, though.
It was Lennon who got killed by Mark David Chapman.
I thought maybe they'd let him out, and then the first
he's
thing he did was kill George Harrison's
rampage
tree.
Oh, I'm going to get all their
he's
trees.
He's not here? Does
now
he have a tree?
I can't get all the Beatles, but I'll kill all their trees.
All right, let me take another guess. Killed by
fill in the blank. His little mad
Yoko's
list
voice?
No.
No?
Huh. It's the ultimate in irony, I'll tell you that much.
Paul McCartney. Then.
Paul killed it and ate it.
Right.
Because he's a vegetarian. No, George Harrison's tree was killed by Beatles.
Yay!
Sure enough.
We're so weird.
We're lame.
Beatles burrowed into the tree and ate it from the inside, caused rot,
from the inside out, and the insects killed the 10-foot-tall tree.
It's a circle of life, man.
The Beatles killed George Harrison.
How about that?
Isn't that something? And while we're talking about Paul McCartney, who, as I mentioned, is a vegetarian, he's got a brand-new single out.
Oh, no.
You'll be happy to know.
Is it another second-grade ditty like he's been writing lately?
No, I think this is maybe fourth or fifth grade. It's called Meat Free Monday.
Meat Free Monday. M-E-A-T? Yes.
M-E-A-T. Meat Free Monday, because this is one of Paul's pet projects. He's trying to get people to go without meat at least one day a week.
Okay.
So if you have a Meat Free Monday, it might spur you on to a more healthy vegetarian lifestyle.
Does he also have Don't Buy Gas Wednesdays?
that's the deep track on the album. That's the third cut of the album.
Okay, just checking.
Meat Free Monday is the new single. I thought maybe you'd like to all take a listen at Meat Free Monday.
I can't wait. He's been terrible lately.
Meat Free Monday. It's a fun day.
Oh.
And it's happening all around the world.
Yep.
Meat Free Monday. It's a fun day.
Stop it. Sure is.
And it's happening. Levels rising. Better not think twice. Meat Free Monday.
Yeah, Meat Free Monday.
It's a fun day.
Sure is.
And it's happening all around.
Here's how you know how important the Beatles are. The Beatles are so important that he can put out song after song like that, and it doesn't ruin his reputation.
I don't know how.
He's
still an icon.
It's unbelievable.
I don't think this is, it's not a song like he's released on an album or something like that. It was just a promotional thing that he did to publicize.
You're a Beatle.
His
if
hope.
You're going to write a song, write a song.
Oh, yeah. It should be, it sucks. Look, I'm not defending
even
it.
Even if it's a promotion, even if it's a promotional
right.
thing.
Yeah, it's
come
terrible.
On.
It's awful.
Meat Free
it
Monday,
really
it's a fun day.
Don't you write that down and go, I'm going to have to come up with something better than that. But just for now, it's a placeholder.
Omar would reject that for a jingle.
Yeah,
it's true. He would not put his name on that for a jingle.
Look, I don't even eat meat, and that makes me want to go shoot a cow just hearing that song. Seriously.
If you go to Paul's website, he's having a contest apparently to make a video for that new song of his. So
find some second graders. I'll get on that.
Maybe we should get to
that's
work
unbelievable,
on
that. Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Game show host Alex Trebek is 74 years old. George Clinton is 73. Danny Glover, 68. Eagle singer Don Henley is 67. Willem Dafoe, the very talented actor, is 59. John Leguizamo and David Spade both celebrate their 50th birthdays today. Reese Ifans is 47. And Selena Gomez celebrates her 22nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How appropriate, by the way. Speaking of this house is falling apart, Beer Mug doing some more interviews on the red carpet for the Kevin and Bean Show.
How dare you?
This is the Television Critics Association, and this is CBS and Showtime.
CW.
Muggs is now up to talking to three people who apparently are on a new show called Hot Bench.
Yeah.
Hot Bench!
Now, is this like a...
It's like a courtroom
judge and...
Okay, so there's... They preside and they discuss the case.
They make a ruling.
Yeah, they make a ruling.
How many judges are there?
Three.
Okay.
You guys ever get deadlocked?
No, why there are three.
Yep.
Didn't really think that
all
through.
All three of them were standing right in front of him.
Guys, you know what it's like when it's one and a half time, back to back with one and a half. What are you going to do?
When somebody abstains? Then what do you
it's
do?
It's all knotted up.
You know how nice people are when they don't bust you on being unprofessional or bad or whatever? And sometimes we wish that happened. Aisha Tyler.
Oh, she's so nice.
She's so nice.
She's awesome.
So smart. So funny.
And she busts Beer Mug, which makes her even better.
We're huge fans. I don't know if you know.
Very nice. Thank you. Thank you.
I was just told that you are doing Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, we're in the middle of season two right now and about to start season three. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so you're not actually a fan.
Big fans.
I love everything you do.
But we don't know what you're doing.
Joey McIntyre.
New Kids.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. The actual name.
New Kids on the Block. Muggs interviews him, tries to get some New Kids on the Block played on K-Rock, And Joey says, no, that's a bad idea. You shouldn't.
And KOTB.
That's right.
For those of you who don't know, that's New Kids on the Block.
That's right.
And maybe one day we'll get to play New Kids on the Block on K-Rock.
No, no, don't do that. No.
No, that's a terrible idea.
He's making a lot more sense than you are, Beer Bug.
Yeah.
One of the New Kids on the Block says no.
Yeah.
Why would you say that? Because you don't hope that we play New Kids on the
you
Block.
You know it's not a good fit.
That would be ground. That would be different. You know we're looking for something different? Uh-huh. That's different right there.
You don't believe that for one second.
Nope.
You are incredible. Bernard Hopkins is now standing in front of
B-Hop
Beer Mug.
One of the greatest boxers of our generation.
And this falls into the question is so unbelievably long that the answer must be one word to fit.
Let me ask you one more quick question.
Sure.
When you train for a fight and you know who you're fighting, do you do a lot of research on other guys' strong points or weak points? Does that go to help you towards the main fight?
Yes.
It's quick.
Does that go towards to help you to the main fight? No, but it helps the undercard considerably.
He does use about five times as many words as is necessary for a question. Phil Kogan, host of Amazing Race.
Love Phil.
That's right, brother.
Also, no, it's different. It's Hulk Hogan.
Sorry.
This is Phil. I'm sorry, excuse me. And he busts Beer Mug immediately on what he's wearing.
Thank you for dressing up tonight. Yeah, really, this is great. You really put a lot of care and attention. Turn around and just get a look at that.
Phil,
yeah,
I miss you, man.
Nice tats, man.
You like them?
What happened? Did you run out of money and then you didn't get the other side?
I'm lopsided.
All right, so what was he just talking about? You have one arm sleeve.
Right.
And the other arm has nothing on it.
He's just busting yours.
Yeah.
And then Beer Mug makes a strange statement.
Every time I see you, Phil, you fill me with inspiration, but at the same time, you make me feel like the biggest fat asshole I've ever felt like.
Now, aren't you feeling like a fat ass? Because you're not feeling like a fat asshole. That's a whole different thing. You're just a fat ass.
Depends how you look at it.
But he's given you energy bars.
Really.
He's given you advice on how to lose weight.
He's offered to go biking.
To work out with you.
But then I do none of that,
right.
And the next time I see him.
Ass. You're a fat ass.
Right.
Whole. And finally, he's talking to Dr. Jennifer Berman. Dr. Jim Sears, they are known as the Doctors,
yeah.
And they give advice on TV.
Yeah, it's a CBS daytime talk show.
Jen Berman's a legendary sort of couples therapist. Yeah.
Well, first of all, Beer Mug is holding the microphone down by the ground someplace. I don't know what's happening. He's not interested in miking it. But he does get right into talking about his balls.
Oh,
now,
no.
Now, is that what you want? Is
no
that what we
that.
Want? On the red carpet, is Beer Mug talking about his balls and how they used to be twisted?
What?
So that's what I'm saying.
Now, Robert, I got to tell you, I don't know how many times you get this a day, but, you know, my age range.
Oh, I'm sorry. I set up the wrong one. This is Robert Patrick, one of the original Terminators.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yes, so he's not miking Robert Patrick at all. And then he goes through his entire IMDb telling him things he's seen,
right,
things he
sure.
hasn't seen, things he liked.
Now, Robert, I got to tell you, I don't know how many times you get this a day, but, you know, my age range, my growing up.
You were a boy when it came out.
I was a boy.
He just cuts to the chase. He's like,
I was the Terminator. Okay.
I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Let me just get
I
to
was
it.
This melty silver one. Okay.
When you were T-1000.
Morphing on the screen. You were just a kid. I terrified you.
Oh,
and now, here we are in person. And look at me. I'm just a slight little fellow, you know.
And then,
not so imposing, am I?
No, you are. You definitely are. Definitely are.
He's good.
In Gangster Squad, you're even
yes, sir.
More kick-ass.
Wasn't it a fun movie?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. One.
I loved you in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh,
you shot all those white supremacist dudes.
Now, here, it sounds like Muggs really thinks this is going on. Like, he's really excited that he shot some white supremacists, because that's what they deserve, goddammit.
You shot all those white supremacist dudes?
That's right. We took care of those bastards, didn't we?
Man.
Wow.
But, Muggs,
what about Scorpion, which he's there to promote?
This sounds like a Make-A-Wish Foundation meeting. It's like Robert Patrick visiting some sick kid in a hospital bed.
And you killed all the bad guys? And you're my favorite guy when
that's
you were
true.
That robot?
Yeah, that's
true.
Right, Billy. I was, uh-huh. How long do the doctors give you, Billy?
Speaking of doctors, it's time for ball talk.
I got to ask you a question. when I was 13, I had this very painful pain in my testicle. I went
a very painful pain.
Those are the worst
in his testicle. I like the pain that's not as painful, but this is a very painful pain.
Pain in my testicle. I went. Twisted.
Okay, torsion, yeah.
What, torsion is it called? I went to a urologist at Kaiser Permanente in Woodland Hills.
Oh, good.
What street is that on?
What's the doctor's name? Give us more detail.
What floor was the office on?
And by the way, they knew immediately what he was talking about, and we're on the same page, so just get to the question.
He put his finger underneath where it was twisted, and he did something where I almost passed out. But
your ball is good down.
It's fantastic.
Both of them, hopefully,
and
right?
I don't want to be crass or rude to talk about it in front of a beautiful lady like yourself.
Too late.
You do every day.
It's too late for that. You already talked about. You don't start talking about your ball and then say, I don't want to be too crass.
You're already committed to crass at that point.
You had a twisted ball?
I did.
I don't even know what that is.
Torsion.
Torsion.
I just learned it
torsion.
From the doctors. Yeah.
It's painful. It shoots all the way up your stomach. It feels like you're constantly getting kicked in the nuts.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, have you ever seen anyone who's worse at miking a guest than Beer Mug?
That was bad.
What were you, with Robert Patrick and these people, where was the mic? Couldn't have been anywhere near their faces.
God only knows.
Couldn't have been anywhere near their faces.
At the beginning of Robert Patrick, I feel like maybe he was miking Robert Patrick and not himself.
Now, Robert, I got
to
when he's doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times you get this a day, but, you know, my age
Could the mic have been? Was it in his
face? I think it was in his face.
My growing up,
you were a boy when
a boy.
So you know how microphones work, right, Mike?
Yeah.
But with the doctors, there's nothing going on. Not them, not you, not nobody's getting recorded on that interview.
I wondered what I heard.
By your balls? Were you hoping maybe your balls would say something about the torsion?
Maybe.
And they would give some sort of expert testimony?
We weren't happy. I was all turned around. And then the doctor in Woodland Hills at Kaiser Permanente fixed me.
But your testicles now, they're fine, right, Muggs?
Oh, they're fantastic.
Okay, good. Hey, we're going to have to reschedule Bobby Lee for another day because he's not here.
Bobby Lee?
I love that guy. I hope he comes back. But in other
sense
news,
of direction apparently, Bobby.
Apparently not.
Was he lost?
Yeah,
love it.
Like really lost.
Like in another county. Hey,
is it Bakersfield looking for us?
Homer Simpson is in the news, you guys.
No.
A lot of stuff going on with the Simpsons. As you know, they're coming to TV for their 26th season next month. Ralph, did you see the world's longest TV marathon is going to be happening on FX? They're going to show all the Simpsons
FXX.
In a row.
Yes. FXX.
FX. Yeah. And it goes on for like 12 days or something like that of just nonstop Simpsons to kind of catch up ahead of the new season. So that is going to be very, very exciting. They're getting ready to debut their Simpsons World app, which is supposed to be amazing.
Woo-hoo!
And Homer's in the news. Because a 27-year-old New Zealand man is in the Guinness Book of World Records now for having the most tattoos of the same cartoon character tattooed on his body. He just got his 41st Homer Simpson tattoo.
Woohoo!
Why?
No offense, Homer.
Why would you do that?
That's the type of thing that could only be done in New Zealand. Not in Old Zealand. They don't have tattoo artists there.
41 tattoos. Now, I did a little research because I was curious where that stands among the record of the most tattoos on any topic. Guinness says this is the record for the most of a cartoon character. But do you think there are people out there who have even more than 41 tattoos on any subject on their body?
I don't know. It seems like I would guess so if they make the distinction of cartoon characters. I would guess there are.
No, this guy's cartoon characters, but I'm saying of anything. Like, is there someone who has 80 fighter pilots tattooed on, you know, fighter planes tattooed on,
any
or flowers, or sports
if you
teams,
have flowers,
or whatever?
80 fighter pilots. Now, that would be impressive if he just had random faces of different fighter pilots
with their little helmets on.
I don't know why that's what I went to. But I think it would be interesting to talk to our audience, the Kevin DeBean listeners, about the most tattoos on one subject. If you've got, I mean, what would you say? You'd want to have more than 10 on a subject, right?
Yeah, I would think that we could start there.
Now, how are you defining it? It has to be the same exact subject? Because I bet there's somebody, for example, who has Disney tattoos. who has characters from Disney films. Mm. I bet you there'd be 100 of those, but they're all different characters.
I think that's legit. I think if they're all related, if they're all part of a collection, part of a set, I think so. Like if you're somebody who got all of the characters from the Star Wars universe tattooed on your body, as far as I'm concerned, those are all Star Wars tattoos.
But this
all
guy on had one 41 subject. Homers.
Just all Homers. Not a Marge or Bart amongst them. Just
41
all
Homers, each representing Homer in various states, including Homer as Jack in the Box, Homer as the Grim Reaper, Homer in an elephant suit, Homer as the Hulk, and even Homer as a donut.
Oh, my God.
In case you're curious, by the way.
I'm going to eat myself.
He decided to get the tattoos in part because his father, who he described as a real-life Ned Flanders, forbade him to watch The Simpsons as a kid.
Well, he showed him, didn't he?
He sure did. He paid for the tattoos with money he saved not drinking for a year. So it sounds like he got all these tattoos over a very short period of time. He has an entire arm that is just sleeved with nonstop interconnected Homer Simpson tattoos. So he's still got a lot of real estate on his body that's still available for more Homer tattoos.
I just
as
put
well.
A picture up on Twitter of him and his body covered. You're saying there's a lot of space that's still empty?
Yes. I'm saying he's still got plenty of room for more Homers. But let's try this. Let's open up the phone lines here at 1-800-520-1067. Let's see if we can find some people who have a lot of tattoos on one topic. Like you are committed to whatever your topic is.
1-800-520-1067. Homer, yes. Sorry, you're about to get destroyed. You're about to get blown out of the water by
No Moses. Way! Yeah. I'm number one! You can't stop me! Kiss my ass!
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday morning. We're talking about the most tattoos on your body on one topic. Cindy writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I have 10 Tim Burton character-inspired tattoos. Characters from Nightmare Before Christmas, Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands, Mars Attacks, Sweeney Todd. She goes on and on and on. She says, I hope to meet Tim one day so I can have him sign a part of my body, and I will run out and get that inked on me, too. That's a pretty good start right there on a Tim Burton tattoo collection.
Yeah,
right?
And his characters are all super cool looking, you know, like that.
Absolutely.
That totally makes sense.
Pretty artwork, right. Let's go to Jason. Jason's in Azusa. He's on line three to get us going. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from you. Hi, Jason.
Hello there.
Hi. What tattoos?
Morning, guys.
Good.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of eyes all over me. A big giant one on the back of my neck. I'm going to put a big giant one on my hand. I got my wife's eyes on the front of my neck, basically because I went partially blind in 2009 from a brain tumor. So it's not stupid. I may look all like I just got out of prison or what have you, but no, it's a serious, you know, thing.
Okay, so you started going blind, so you started tattooing eyes on your body?
No, I didn't start going nuts with the eyeballs until after I got out of, you know, surgery and all that, so.
Okay, but I think where Kevin was going is my question also is you can't really see these tattoos very well, right?
Well, I said partially blind. I'm not that blind. It's,
okay.
It's a whole realm that you'd have to, you know, understand medically.
Yeah. Okay. So how many eye tattoos do you have?
Oh, it's at least 10. I mean, it depends.
Are you done yet, or are you going to go for more?
Oh, I'm going to go nuts till I die.
Yes. Good.
It's a good luck.
Good.
I can go with it.
Thank you, Jason.
Let's go to Andy, line two, up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Santa Clarita. Hi, Andy.
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
What's going on in Happy Town or Wonderfulville or wherever the hell you live? Oh, Awesome Town. That was awesome, an awesome town.
Awesome Town, man.
Yeah.
What do you have in tattoos?
I have 7 L.A. California-themed tattoos.
Okay.
I have the Dodger Stadium. I have L.A. I have the Hollywood sign. I have a script that says to live and die in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I have the outline of California with the bear inside it, like the flag.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then I have the script of California with palm trees on my bicep and everything.
So you really like living in California?
Yep. Born and raised.
It's a pretty good follow-up question, right?
That was a good follow-up. There are no good follow-ups. I mean, why take the extra step of getting it tattooed? A lot of people like living in Southern California.
It's California.
That's a good point.
We live in Southern California. Sunny all the time. Never really cold.
Listen, I agree. I agree with everything that you're saying. I'm just not getting L.A. tattoos. But
thank you, Andy. Appreciate the call very much. Let's go to Donna. She is in Los Angeles. Line one. I think we may have a winner chicken dinner here. Donna, how many tattoos on one subject do you have?
I stopped counting like at 100.
You stopped counting at 100?
Oh, my gosh. All right. We can't wait to hear. What's your topic?
So I started collecting nautical tattoos. Back when I started doing it around 15, it was cool. I used to look up the pin-up models and I thought it was amazing, and I wanted to be covered in them.
But now I guess there's articles around saying that I'm a hipster, so I guess they're hipster-themed tattoos.
Oh, really?
So what do you consider a nautical tattoo? Like boats, sails, anchors? What?
Yeah, I have about like 20 anchors, mermaids, like old ships, just anything to the sea.
What parts of your body have tattoos?
Are left? No, she's got over 100. Do you have any that are not tattooed?
My face. I promised my parents that my face is the only thing that I will never, ever, ever tattoo. So it's pretty much my hands, my fingers, my palms, my neck, my chest, my back, stomach, torso, legs.
When you get to, when you get to, 40, and then you get to 50, and then you get to 60, at some point don't you go, pretty much have that covered?
No, not really. I mean, most people who go and actually go invest a lot in tattoos, they want it to flow. They want a theme on their entire body, so
right.
It's not completely random. So I guess my theme was nautical. So I've been hitting up different tattoo artists from all over the world, going to Ink and Iron and whatnot, and just getting that one theme so it just flows.
Huh. Have you ever had any interest yourself in taking to the seas, like working in that field where you're on a boat?
There's no boats in a field, Bean, for God's sakes. You need water.
I actually went on a ship once, and I get really seasick.
All right,
okay.
Good.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
She went on a ship once.
She got really seasick. So I think it's a perfect collection of tattoos. Thanks, Donna.
So earlier this morning, this happened, and Ralph fell off of his chair and landed on the floor at K-Rock.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I was a Beverly Hills cop for a while. I worked with those two guys. I put that banana in the guy's tailpipe. Yeah. Remember that?
Sure. Right, sure.
And then after that, I...
That may have been 48 hours.
Sort of retired.
That may have been... Wait, what was it? Oh, Beverly... You didn't use the words Beverly Hills and cop.
You are rich.
You should say those words.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Longer than a moment, actually. That's like a 5 moment.
I said I was a Beverly Hills cop.
You said that, yeah.
For a while.
You said those words. Beverly Hills.
So Kevin thought, naturally, you were talking about the movie 48 Hours, Ralph. Come on, it's obvious.
It is pretty obvious.
Try to keep up. Yeah. Hey, unfortunately, thanks for that tweet, Bean, coming up next here on the Kevin Bean Show right off the top of the hour. First, third time for the Showbiz Bean. Here's Ralph.
It is a shame that we have to keep doing it.
But we do. There's one simple way to end this long national nightmare that is thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Is just drop the feature.
That's
Stop
not what I was thinking.
Demanding about. To be beaten.
Yeah. If you take away the raw materials we use to make the weapon, then we can no longer make the weapon. So I'm
gotcha.
Forbes magazine has released its list of Hollywood's highest paid actors
Oprah.
For the second consecutive year. This is actors' reported salaries from June 2013 to this past June. Here's what everybody made. Will Smith and Mark Wahlberg tied at 9 and 10 with $32 million in the past year. That's what they've made.
Do you guys consider Mark Wahlberg an A-lister?
I do, sure.
I think so, but...
Absolutely.
Certainly not in the vein of Will Smith, though, do you? You know what I mean? Like, if a Will Smith movie comes out, isn't it a bigger deal than if Mark Wahlberg comes out?
Not anymore.
He makes bad
think.
Choices, I think.
Be,
like,
yeah.
He was in Transformers. Like, that was sort of a misstep for him, I thought.
Except that it's so
except
much
they're all making
all
money. The money.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's making more money than any Will Smith movie has in the past 5-10 years.
I don't know. I don't see him.
Ted, another monster hit. Lone Survivor. Yeah. Huge
he's
hit.
Great in that. Yeah.
He's on a roll.
Absolutely, he's an A-lister. The Fighter was an Oscar-nominated film.
All right.
Come on, Kevin.
Good enough.
Ben Affleck.
But he's still got Wahlburgers. That's what's most important, right?
Yeah. It's out on DVD today, by the way, if you've never seen the Wahlburgers. Season 1, available on DVD. Ben Affleck and Christian Bale tied at 8 and 7 with $35 million. Then Liam Neeson with $36 million at number 6. Chris Hemsworth is number 5 with $37 million. Leonardo DiCaprio, 4th with $39 million. Then Bradley Cooper leaps to $46 million over the past year at number 3.
Now, that was a bit of a shocker for me.
Now, that would be American Hustle and probably maybe the tail end of Hangover 3 even. I mean, there's a lot of money between those two movies.
He didn't get paid much for American
Silver
Hustle.
Silver Linings Playbook?
He didn't get paid much for that either.
No?
Those are basically small budget films, both of those films.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Hangover, I guess it had to be. Maybe Galaxy Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe he got paid a nice chunk of change to voice Rocket Raccoon. Maybe. Okay. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, $52 million.
Wow.
Now, other than Hercules, which is soon to be out in theaters, right?
Yeah.
What has he done?
Well, he was in... what was the car chase series?
Oh, sure, Fast and the Furious.
He was in Fast and the Furious.
Sure.
There you go.
The most recent one. By the way, I don't know if this is a spoiler or news. I guess it's news. But he just did an interview where we think we found out what his next project is going to be. It sounds like he inadvertently leaked what his next film is going to be. He's going to do a big superhero movie.
Okay.
For DC Comics.
Ant-Man?
Not Ant-Man, which is Marvel, by the way, first of all. You don't even get to go to Comic-Con. You're excluded from Comic-Con weekend.
But I think Kevin's point is he would be an outstanding Ant-Man.
Right. He would be a great Ant-Man.
Thank you, Bean.
But he said this character has the power of Superman.
Power of Superman.
It's not Green Lantern. He said he can't really say it is because DC hasn't announced it yet, but they're going to announce it soon. And then he said, just say the word. That's all I'm going to say. Just say the word.
Grease?
What?
Grease.
Yes.
What superhero has the power of Superman who just has to say a word to become that hero?
I, of course, know, but I'm letting other people guess.
Shazam! Captain Marvel!
Oh, shut up.
I did. I thought of Shazam, but I didn't know
Shazam's
that meant
the magic
anything.
Word. Shazam is the word Billy Batson uses to turn into Captain Marvel.
Well, I didn't know that.
Shazam! The lightning strikes and boom, he's Captain Marvel.
He sure seems like he would be a superhero.
Be a great Captain Marvel.
Agreed.
So apparently that's the latest rumor. That's the word on the street.
I'm sorry. Who?
Captain Marvel!
That's a big deal?
Big deal!
Okay.
Captain Marvel is never mind.
I know, I feel you. It's like...
You feel my frustration,
Kevin?
These
people that you work with don't know anything.
I know. It's so frustrating.
It drives me crazy.
And number one on the list for Forbes magazine's list of Hollywood's highest paid actors. Can we just stop with the Tiffany already? Robert Downey Jr., $75 million, Robert Downey Jr.
Wait, what was number two? $52 million?
With The Rock.
And he's 72.
52, 75.
75.
Wow. So apparently it pays to be a superhero is what we're saying. Because he, of course, Iron Man.
I think it's well worth remembering from time to time, Ralph, that there was a time where Robert Downey Jr. was done in this town.
Yeah, he was waking up on strange people's couches.
Yep.
Couldn't get a job.
He was a joke.
No one wanted to hire him.
Laugh Riot. Hobo.
Well done.
Loser.
Well done indeed.
Hobo.
Right.
Did I mention hobo?
You did.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were all born on July the 22nd. Game show host Alex Trebek is 74 years old.
I would like that next hour, please, Ralph, in the form of a question.
Well, when you know Alex as well as I do, having been a clue on Jeopardy, you get to talk about Alex however you want, really. Because you know what it's like when you're one of the clues on Jeopardy.
I don't, because I've never
been. You haven't
Ralph
been?
Garman ordered up the flame of fire as Full Bounty host Jake Montrose on this Spike TV show, revived in 2013. Matt,
what is the Joe Schmo show?
Boom. Come on. Boom. That's my buddy Alex talking about me right there.
You win.
Happy birthday, Alex. George Clinton, 73. Danny Glover is 68. Don Henley is 67. Willem Dafoe is 59. John Leguizamo is 50, as is David Spade. Rhys Ifans is 47 years old today. And Selena Gomez celebrates her 22nd birthday.
Free Gaza.
What happened?
What, Bean?
What?
Huh? I said free Gaza.
Oh.
Or was it pray for Gaza? What was her big Instagram photo controversy this week? Yeah.
Pray for Gaza?
Yeah.
David K. Mexico has put Atlanta Falcons running back Steven Jackson on this list. I'll put up with the occasional Clipper.
Yeah, because it's L.A.
But I'll be damned if I'm going to start reading Atlanta Falcons birthdays.
Agreed.
Just because Dave puts this list together.
What's up?
I agree.
All right.
You can overwrite his list. You know that, right?
I know. I just wanted to run it past the team and see whether I was being picky
totally
or not on this one.
We're with you on that one.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, but...
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
I just don't think they should let Buzz Aldrin do interviews anymore, man. It's starting to get sad. Right?
I love
just
Buzz.
Thinking it's of crazy. Him in his garage with somebody who claims to be an alien.
Yeah.
That's sketchy.
Putting something someplace just seems like a bad idea.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Well, Philip Seymour Hoffman left
dead.
Yeah, he is, yes.
Oh.
Left his kids out of his will on purpose.
Really?
Yes.
Completely?
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
New York Post obtained the court documents, and apparently the late actor did not want his children to ever be trust fund babies.
But you can't give them a little taste?
Well, here's what he did. His accountant, Dave Friedman, said in court when they went through the paperwork that Hoffman wanted his $35 million estate to go to his longtime partner and mother of his children, Mimi O'Donnell.
Oh, okay.
He felt that she would take care of the children appropriately and give them whatever money they needed at the bare bones to get them to school or whatever it was they needed to do and everything, but he did not want his kids to have direct access to that money.
That sounds reasonable.
Sounds very reasonable.
If he's confident that the mother, you know, is in touch with, has a good relationship with the kids, yeah.
I think that's a much better idea than giving a kid a big chunk of money. Because then they end up being like Kevin.
How dare you?
They spend all their money on nitrous oxide. And
liquid nitrogen.
And nitrous oxide, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
And fireworks and...
And fun other fun things.
Party bus rentals.
I think it'd be fun to talk to our listeners sometime who have been cut out of wills or people who have had a lot of money and have left them none.
Oh, that would be painfully funny.
I was watching 60 Minutes this past weekend, and they did one of those features on Warren Buffett and Bill and Melinda Gates and all those people who were in that that program to give away virtually all of their wealth.
Yeah.
And Warren Buffett is giving away all of his wealth. He's leaving
what a dick.
Nothing to his survivors.
No kidding.
Go get your own.
Yep,
that's
what he says.
You get yours.
That's right. Look, I did it. I started from nothing and earned this fortune. Now it's your turn.
Why doesn't he say that to the poor people he's given the money to and then give the money to his family? Why does he say to the people in need that he gives to charity, hey,
isn't
I started with nothing. Go get some money. You go do it.
Isn't that
and
interesting?
I'm going to give the money to people that I have some ties to over here.
And then Bill Gates is all sitting there going, yeah, I cured smallpox or whatever it is he's done over in Africa. What is he? Is it polio? Is that what he eliminated on the continent or something like that?
I don't know, some disease.
And I'm thinking, his kids are probably happy about that, but hey, a little something something for me.
How about curing my Bentley deprivation? How about that? How about curing that over here in our household?
Right.
I am suffering from Maserati withdrawals.
I have very little aspen in my future this winter. What's up with that?
That's right. Cure that. Would you live in an isolated community for a year and try to create a whole new society?
No.
Well, Bean would. We know he wants to go to Mars or whatever, right?
Yeah. But he wants to do that by himself.
That's true.
He doesn't want anyone else there.
That's the concept behind Fox's upcoming reality series, Utopia. You have to leave your life for a year. This isn't Survivor, where you're gone for 39 days or whatever it ends up being.
And then they stretch it out over the season.
This is a year you are gone, disconnected from everyone you know and love, and you go to live in an isolated location with a bunch of strangers trying to build a new world.
Hmm.
What do they?
Who would do that?
What do they mean by build a new world? I mean, do you start a government? And what do you do?
A whole new society, everything.
Do you have to create the wheel?
Yes,
how far are they going back?
Yes, Kevin, you have to create the wheel because you'll forget what a wheel is when you go to Utopia.
They'll
wipe your mind.
How far they're going back, I don't know.
Anyway, I thought it was curious that nearly 5,000 people applied to be on the show.
All of whom are unemployed?
All of them who are beans. They leave their lives for a whole year. Fox says they've pared the list down to 40 people, and now they're selecting the final 15 who will get to go live in a made-for-TV community in Southern California.
It feels like if you don't like your life enough that you're willing to give it up for a year, maybe you should change your life a little so that you have a little more fun.
Here's the catch on the show, by the way. Even if you're picked, you can be replaced at any time by someone who's watching the show.
At any time?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So you quit your job, and then you go there for like 2 days,
they say,
you're fired.
Kick rocks, buddy.
So this is kind of like a Big Brother type show.
Yes.
It's sort of mixed with that dome
with
or whatever
Survivor,
that was.
Mixed with Under the Dome and The Leftovers. Hmm. You have to learn how to smoke and wear white.
Right.
And you just stand around.
for no reason.
Show premieres on September the 7th. And it's apparently based on a Dutch reality show, which has been running since January. That's wildly popular. I guess maybe it has no season. Maybe it just runs for an entire year. They do it sort of real time as much as they can with editing.
Aren't the Dutch the ones that have the TV shows you told us about, where they have like a, they show up trains and
that's
up in Norway and Finland.
That's the Norwegians.
Oh, yeah, the Dutch though, we've gotten a dozen shows from them over the last 10 years.
They're
it's crazy how much stuff we adapt.
Of reality TV.
They really are.
Yeah.
Including, I think, Big Brother, by the way.
FX has given us more details about their renewal of Fargo.
Oh, I can't wait.
Did you just clap?
You did.
Did you just do a little baby clap?
That is the lamest clap ever.
I'm very excited by this.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, you betcha.
Here's the details. They were originally going to try to use the same cast and recast them in new roles, kind of like American Horror Story does with Jessica Lange, right?
Which seems to be working.
Yeah, but they decided that the characters were too strong and the actors' performances in them too indelible that they could reincarnate new characters with those actors.
Okay.
So they're wiping the slate clean, and they are also resetting the show in the past. Season 2 will reportedly take place 30 years before this past season did, in 1979, and will follow the life of Lou Salverson, who is the father of Molly, Deputy Molly, in this current season, most recent season. He's 33, just back from Vietnam, and trying to reintegrate into society.
That was Keith Carradine's character from this most recent season.
Right. Molly will only be 4 years old during the story, and we will meet not only her as a little girl, but her mother as well. So they're taking that family's bloodline and going back with it, and that's what the next season's going to be.
Oh, my gosh. 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 Oh, my gosh.
Never clap like that again, by the way.
Unless you're doing an
Ed Wynn
impression.
What the heck are you talking about?
Unless you're doing an Ed Wynn impression. Oh, my goodness. This is just so exciting. I can't wait for Fargo, don't you know?
I am. Look, I'm excited. I'm sure it's going to be great. They wowed me with season one. But I am excited that Allison Lohman, is that her name? The actress who played the lead cop on that show. I'm sad that apparently she won't be on it because she was so great. I miss her.
Yeah, she was really good.
Oh, my goodness. She's so talented.
Are you the only one in 2014 keeping the Ed Wynn impression alive, Ralph?
Yes, I am. Man's got to have a specialty. And don't forget, we missed it. We missed yesterday, but coming up is another Meat-Free Monday. Next week, Meat-Free Monday. Don't forget your Meat-Free Monday. This is
I didn't know this was a thing.
This is one of Paul McCartney's pet projects. This is a campaign that he started apparently 5 years ago to get you to lay off the meat pipe at the beginning of the week.
I don't get my meat out of a pipe. I got to be honest.
He has written a song about it. He's so passionate about this program. You can download Meat Free Monday, the song, at paulmccartney.com. He also wants you to make a video for the song, and you can be in it. So go there. Go to paulmccartney.com. Enjoy this new song, which is just sweeping the nation, Meat Free Monday.
Meat Free Monday. It's a fun day.
I'm out. I'm out. You're not rhyming Monday with fun day.
And it's happening all around the world.
Yeah.
Meat Free Monday.
Certainly he's not going to repeat it.
It's a fun day.
All right. At least we'll repeat the chorus.
And it's happening all around the world.
Yeah, okay, we don't need any more of it than that.
Think about the future. How the world will be. If we don't do something, we face calamity.
About the meat.
Think of greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
Melting polar ice. Mm-hmm. Ocean levels rising. Better not think twice. Meat-free Monday.
So we're supposed to think about it, but only once, not twice.
That's right. And only once a week. But it is happening all over the world.
Meat-free Monday.
Sing it if you know it.
I gotta say,
it's a fun day.
I gotta say that it's a terrible campaign and a terrible song, but that guy does a great Paul McCartney impression.
Too much livestock.
That is Paul McCartney.
I mean, he really does sound just like him. I get what he's doing is he's poking fun of Sir Paul and his vegetarian ways. But
actually,
the guy does just an uncanny
Paul McCartney
impression.
Paul James McCartney.
Exactly like him.
James Paul McCartney. That guy McCartney.
I think Kevin made the right choice hanging up on him.
Thank you. Finally.
Oh, how dare you. I never thought there'd be a song that made the climate mash sound good to me, but this one
He's on a roll. He's got that. He's got that Queenie Pie nut job song of his.
I like Queenie Eye. I like
whatever.
That. I like that.
And then he had Freedom, which is one of the worst songs ever written.
He was talking about freedom, though, in his defense. He was talking about freedom. Today's celebrity birthdays. Selena Gomez is 22 years old today.
Selena!
Yes, Selena.
Miss Gomez, Selena!
Marge working hard for the interview.
God damn it!
Oh, yeah, it didn't pay off.
Failing.
Risa Fons is 47 years old today. David Spade is 50. John Leguizamo, also 50. Willem Dafoe turns 59. Don Henley, Eagles singer, 67 years old today. Danny Glover, he's getting too old for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
68 years old. George Clinton, 73. And game show host Alex Trebek of Jeopardy fame is 74. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. What's up with Florida? Brand new internet roundup. Comedian Bobby Lee, and this time we mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let Bean tell you who's in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning, because he can
you
never say his
how
name.
How hard it is for me to pronounce this man's name, and I'm a huge fan of his.
Right?
Is it Kumail Nanjiani?
Pretty close.
Close
enough. Close enough.
And Jonah Ray from the Comedy Meltdown will both be here on tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean show. We'll see you then.